Hello, everyone. It's Monday. It's time for another Security Token Show. We're your hosts. I'm Herwig Konings, joined, as always, by my co-founder, Kyle Sondland. How are you today, buddy?
Herwig, I am great. I like the new format of the show. We've got Nico coming in here for our early segments, which has been a ton of fun. We've seen some great traction on the show. Appreciate everybody tuning in for another week of amazing news.
Well, we've got a lot of it, so let's dive right into it with the market movements. And joining us, as always, now looks like a regular contributor, potentially, Nico Pantelis. Welcome back to the show. How are you?
Hello, gentlemen. I'm good. I'm currently in Europe, as you can see. My outfit is more of the winter type still. Weather is messy in Europe, but hey.
Normally you're in Dubai, but we'll see you in May for our conference in Miami, May 9th and 10th, everybody. Summit.stm.co. Go check it out. But guys, we're going to kick it off with, I'm sure, the headline that you've seen everywhere because it's been reproduced everywhere, which is the idea that the tokenized treasury market is now over $1 billion. It has surpassed that big figure mark, which is a huge deal, but not to be a party pooper or anything, but we do need to offer some clarifications, guys. Specifically, there is even some headlines saying that there are treasury notes reaching $1 billion in size. And so I think we just need to clear things up a little bit. To me, there are three layers to this whole ecosystem. Okay, at the very bottom layer, we've got treasuries themselves, treasury bills, which are the direct access, which some people are tokenizing. In fact, we just saw last week Singapore, a licensed company there called Digi FT, they launched a US treasury bill RWA token directly tied to the notes. Specifically citing the fact that presently the majority of RWA tokens are in fact wrapped in special purpose vehicles, feeder funds, and other types of instruments that hold the underlying assets. But this product is AA plus rated and short-term T-bill RWA. So that's our bottom layer, folks. You've got the tokenized version and the traditional version, right? So what's happening now are people tokenizing these special purpose vehicles, these funds. Specifically, a treasury fund has a mandate to invest 99.5% of its assets and holdings into treasuries. That's what a treasury fund is. Of course, by creating a fund vehicle, you get all kinds of other benefits. And what happens is these treasury funds hold the underlying notes. And in this case, I imagine one day in the future, they'll all hold the underlying tokenized treasury bill notes, right? The funds themselves, though, are what are popularly getting tokenized. But you have another form, which is called a money market fund, which is not necessarily required to do all of its holdings in treasuries, but they can invest in CDs and other short-term interests and cash-based opportunities. And that's what BlackRock did with their Biddle fund, right? This is a giant, giant, huge institution. They need to be able to, and they aspire to get to huge scale. The best way to do that is, of course, being able to have more optionality and not relying just on short-term treasury notes. So what happened when Biddle crossed, by the way, folks, from 40 million last week to now over 240 million, maybe more as the time this goes live. That's pretty impressive. But it's not treasury tokens that have reached $1 billion. It's definitely not treasury bills that have reached $1 billion. It is the collective market of money market funds and treasury funds and probably the direct treasury bill products that are being listed combined as $1 billion, which is still super awesome. But I figured I'd offer that little bit of a clarification. We saw TrueFi, they launched their own treasury fund for international. That was a fund, not like DigiFT's underlying product. So still good news, big news, OUSG, you know, moving their funds over from their traditional BlackRock product as another example, as just an extra context, to the Biddle fund. That's like us upgrading our treasury fund from traditional notes to tokenized notes. Ondo said we're going to go from the traditional BlackRock fund to now the Biddle fund because that's the on-chain liquidity fund that they provide. So that's my diatribe, guys. What are your thoughts?
What is the umbrella term that we want to use to describe all of these US denominated fund products if it's not treasuries?
It is tough to say. What's Nico got?
Yeah, it's again, like I mentioned last week, in my opinion, this is a liquidity mechanism to get liquidity from all sorts of places into these blockchains, especially from the TradFi world. So I would say it's a liquidity token.
Interesting. Dollar denominated liquidity tokens.
It's also in the name, liquidity, you know, the L from Biddle is liquidity. So
I like that. I like that a lot. And in fact, that we were just having a conversation earlier, Nico and I, just about how, you know, the big opportunity has been for stable coins. This liquidity market is what's going to grow and I think possibly surpass it one day, just because of the settlement opportunities and other mechanisms that get involved with liquidity funds beyond just transactional payments. This is the opportunity to me simply of why have a dollar that gives you nothing when you can park your cash into something that gives you yield.
Yeah. Fair. And also park your cash into a mechanism that gives you potential or access to a complete new world. This is in my essence what is important. And still having touched base with liquid money market funds and treasury bills. So yeah, perfect.
And to emphasize that, that's what Bernstein, which by the way is a $725 billion asset manager, that's what they came out and said, basically saying that this product brings legitimacy to the whole market, because again, it puts an emphasis on the technology we've been talking about for years now, why this is the future of capital markets and why BlackRock is doing everything to become possibly that biggest, you know, provider of liquidity in the world in this new on-chain markets. And I think it's cool to see that not only are they getting, you know, the likes of Ondo switching collateral, you've got, you know, six other holders that have come in, one of which is probably or soon to be in partnership with Falcon X, which I think is great. This is a big crypto, you know, prime broker, and they're bringing in the collateral component to Biddle already. So now you're seeing that utility that quickly comes from being on chain within a week. You know, I don't know how long this might have been working in the background, but it is very cool to see that just come out within a week. So guys, big things coming thanks to Biddle. I don't know if you guys have any closing thoughts, but that was just my little segment I had to start with.
Nico, anything from you before I talk about more types of collateralization of dollars?
Yeah, again, this was for me a very, very important moment that Larry Fink sets foot on the ground and not only talks about tokenization, but puts it in practice. That's the same thing as when he started talking about ESG, what was it, 10 years ago in his letter. It's the same thing. This is a complete new trend that will hold many decades from here on.
And on a public blockchain.
And on public blockchains, not these private blockchains, which in my opinion are intranets to the internet. It's the same thing. I'm an old guy, guys. I know what I'm talking about. If you're talking about internet compared to internet, this is the internet. These blockchains are the public blockchains are the internet. And we need to open up for the TradFi world to come and join our world.
So yeah, I do think there's a greater concern here. People are frustrated with the lack of purchasing power of fiat in general. We certainly see the US being a significant target due to the fact that it's the reserve currency and one of the largest economies in the world. But this is happening globally. You look at anywhere in Europe, in the Middle East, in Asia, they are all experiencing significant inflation and a reduction in purchasing power, which is causing people to want to create more avenues to get access to things that are going to hold more consistent value or own real tangible things, which is why I want to change our perspective and look at three different pieces of news that happened over the last week with respect to tokenizing diamonds, gold, and silver. Kicking it off with diamonds, we have Oasis Pro working with Avalanche and the Diamond Standard Fund in order to tokenize diamonds. They're trying to impact this $1.2 trillion industry of diamonds. The Diamond Standard Index is benchmarked to Bloomberg's Diamond Standard Index. So Bloomberg has an index of diamond prices, and then the Diamond Standard Fund is a fund back behind that trend. And the goal here is to allow pension funds and IRAs to invest directly into real-world asset tokenization of diamonds. We then go into HSBC launching a gold token. This one is actually targeting retail investors alongside institutionals. And they are creating the what they call the first bank-created blockchain-based gold token. As I said, that's based in Hong Kong. That's on their Orion platform. We've covered Orion at length, and it is actually able for purchase on their mobile apps. They've got a Robin Hood style of competitor, allowing people to invest in their digital gold. So we have that. And then finally, we have a startup here locally. One of the founders is local and the company is here, Block Apps. And they have actually launched the world's first carbon neutral silver token. So the goal here is that they've got a collaboration with a company called Tokeni, but it's not the one you're familiar with. It's T-O-K-E-N-I. And so this is each token that they are selling represents one troy ounce of 0.999% silver. And so you can actually redeem that for the underlying silver if you have a certain amount of these tokens that being held. And so they actually are then working with the Mercata carbon blended ton to neutralize the emissions. So this is actually trying to target a, compliant ESG standard silver token. And so we have diamonds, gold, and silver tokenized just this week from a range of different issuers, from startups like Block Apps to banks like HSBC to industry professionals like Oasis Pro. So gentlemen, what are your thoughts around tokenizing commodities? Where's the real opportunity here? Where's the value here for investors? And what does this mean for the market?
For me, it's a very reminiscent evolution. It looks for me the same as when we go all the way back in the early 2000s when gold went into an ETF wrapper. You know, the famous Web2 wrappers, which were ETFs. It's the same thing. And it started a complete bonanza in the gold market back in those days when gold was at, what was it, $200, and it went all the way up almost to $2,000, 10x, which the crypto guys like to call crypto returns nowadays. For me, it's the same evolution as you see that a new kind of wrapper, a token, a Web3 wrapper, is again putting a lot of liquidity into these hard asset markets. So for me, it's real world hard assets category that's being born at the moment. And I think this will set a complete new influx of liquidity into these hard asset markets, which comes at a point that gold is breaking out to record highs. So this can't be a coincidence. This thing will ramp in the coming years. And we will see that treasuries from all places, from DAOs, from other enterprises, et cetera, will put these real world hard assets tokens as a part of their treasury. So this will be, again, a completely new trend for the coming years.
That's exactly right. The diversification angle, you can't just be concentrated completely into one backing there. And precious metals are a huge angle of that. Not to mention all the other opportunities that you're going to easily be able to diversify with tokenization. That's actually one of the extreme benefits is fractionalization, smaller ticket prices. Also means you can have a larger portfolio, more diverse with the same amount of cash. But this specific trend, I think, is great because it also is just a little bit sexier, right? The people that are adopting a lot of these treasury products and a lot of these sort of cash denominated, they're either infrastructure providers or they're, layers that really don't ever touch the retail always. I imagine at some point hopefully for us, if you're on, you know, any of these ATSs or marketplaces, you might be able to settle into Biddle. But right now, of course, the adoption still is, you got to be accredited. You got to, you know, you got to have a minimum investment of 100K, you know, and I think it might be even higher via Securitize. So there's definitely still these restrictions where right now, you know, HSBC is a massive bank with a retail app bringing them into gold. Like, that's amazing. That's something that is has a narrative that is just a little bit sexier that I think will lead to more adoption. And that's that doesn't stop with gold. Diamonds is, of course, a great use case, not to mention the other benefits of knowing where it came from, the provenance. That's a little bit more important in the diamond world, that supply chain tracking. So again, I imagine that that's going to layer in as well beyond just a security token that gives you exposure, but actually getting more enhanced information about the underlying diamond collateral. And of course, block apps and the whole silver and ESG angle is still another trend that is definitely a hot topic within this whole industry regarding precious metals and such. So the fact that tokenization is offering that new angle is very interesting. We have a consulting client, Arctic Digital Mining, working with a similar kind of concept to keep gold in the ground. I think we're going to see a lot of cool trends come out of specifically this sector because, you know, again, it's just a little bit cooler to own some diamonds in my portfolio than it is, you know, some treasure notes. Like, it's a fact.
Ulrich, it's optionality. It's the same thing as what Kyle mentioned earlier. You want to have this optionality of various assets in your treasury. That's what this is all about. And the more thing is, we do not need to forget that we are crypto savvy people. We are the younger generation and we know how to handle our crypto, but the older generation doesn't, but they're aware of gold, you know? And we have to be aware that 70% of all wealth in the world is still in this older generation and they need to come to blockchains. And what better tools to have than a gold token, which they are familiar with and which they are at ease with? You know, they say, oh, this gold, I'm familiar with that. I don't know anything about these crazy tokens, but gold, that I know. So I want to buy some gold tokens next to my, of course, my BlackRock liquid funds. Perfect. Come to our industry, please.
Yeah.
Makes total sense. I think a good step forward in this tokenized real world asset industry. We're going to see everything. We're going to see digital assets. We're going to see physical assets. We're going to see securities. We're going to see real estate. All the different components can be applied using the same technology, the same rails.
Guess what, guys? We're seeing it now on a weekly basis because I got three more interesting pieces for you, starting with USP. By the way, you know, you may have heard of them in the past, big real estate tokenization platform. They have now launched on Republic, you know, famously allowing retail investors to be able to participate. And they are democratizing that trend of access to, you know, now fractionalized real estate. They boast over 52 million in real estate. And most interesting, I thought, was they say that they will allow for peer-to-peer trading. So I definitely want to look a little bit more into that when that happens. But it is a sign of, once again, real estate still being a very popular product and now making its way into retail, which we don't see as often. But actually over in Singapore, another huge, I think, raise is combined through two different raises. Over $53 million was raised by ValueMax. They did it through two different platforms, SDAX and ADDX, two of the leading platforms out there. And that's a great, healthy sign of actually doing security token offerings and raising capital. So that is very strong sign, again, for the Singapore sector specifically. But last but not least, we also saw Oxbridge RE, part of the innovation arm of a NASDAQ-listed company there. focused on the reinsurance sector, also doing some 3-year contracts that have supposedly a 42% annualized return in the absence of losses, they say. So another very interesting, very niche use case being targeted. You got real estate, you got traditional equities doing some I think they were almost bond-like vehicles. And then, of course, the reinsurance sector. Guys, any takeaways from any of these?
Great to see Republic continuing to launching new products. I think that we've been really impressed with a lot of their developments over the last 12, 18, 24 months getting involved in this space. So exciting to see that they're launching more security tokenization products through the rails that they've been able to build. And the rest of them are just more great developments in the space. Nico?
Yeah, for me, it's the theme is, again, liquidity. These are mostly illiquid products, and tokenization brings liquidity to these illiquid instruments. And this is very important because it opened up a new kind of not worms, but good things in essence. But this is what it is. It's liquidity a mechanism, and tokenization is just perfect for this. And also, when I talk to crypto people, which are mostly in my community, next to TradFi guys, it's a strange thing, but the guys like real estate because real estate brings yield, and they want yield in the crypto community. That's a very you hear it everywhere in every topic. They want some return on their assets in some kind of way, and what better way than to have real estate and maybe lever up some real estate, returns here and there? Why not? But yeah, real estate is perfect for this market.
And I think that's why we've seen such great success with Realty. They continue to list more and more properties every week. They just did some more. That ecosystem continues to grow as well. So the RWA
real estate. Realty is the perfect example. You know, you see these are very illiquid properties they have. Make them liquid. People can DeFi these tokens again on their platform. It's just perfect.
We got the future right here coming to you from the show. That's the market movements for the week. Nico, we hope to see you again next week. Thank you, as always, for joining us. Let's move on to an interview.
Awesome. Well, welcome everyone to another Security Token Show interview. This week we have Leo from Hashnote joining us. Leo, how are you this morning?
I'm doing well. Good to see you again, Jason.
Likewise. Now, some interesting news coming out of Hashnote. You guys are working with Paxos to bring in your USYC product along with the PayPal USD or the PYUSD product. So we'd love to learn more about this partnership and what you guys are doing here.
Yeah, we're really excited to be working with Paxos and PayPal on this product. USYC is our money market token. We're primarily using it as collateral. So we're trying to get this to be the collateral at exchanges, collateral for OTC trades, and collateral for lending markets across the board. I think that's really the main use for a tokenized money market type product. Our partnership with Paxos and PayPal allows us to give instantaneous liquidity on a good chunk of our USYC. So if you're getting liquidated, for example, and a customer or an exchange can't take USYC directly, we can now liquidate directly into PYUSD and have that PYUSD go into the hands of the liquidator. So I think it's a really exciting development for the market. I think it's a really exciting way for us to be able to use blockchain technology to increase the efficiency of financial markets.
Makes total sense to me. Obviously, collateral movement, collateral management, and settlement rails are all, very important things from an operational standpoint. How did you guys come across, PayPal and Paxos and, decide that this was the product that you guys wanted to work with for USYC?
Yeah, I've been watching the developments around PayPal and PYUSD for a while. Cumberland, our supporter, like our original funding, has also worked with PayPal for a while. Personally, I think PayPal has a very interesting strategy here. And this is I'm not quoting anyone from there, but I, when I think about what they're doing, I think it makes a ton of sense. And my thesis might be different from theirs, but here goes like my opinion on what should be happening here. When we think about stable coins, I think many of us agree that the end game is that we're able to pay in stable coins and we're able to do international transfers, so like remittances in stablecoin. And I think PayPal has a huge advantage there, right? They already have point of sale systems everywhere. If you want to pay in Pi USD, you can actually do that right now from your PayPal app, either to other people or at a point of sale system. Like you can actually just go somewhere and like tap your phone and pay with your Pi USD. That's an advantage that nobody else has. And I think that they can essentially switch those rails out for Pi USD whenever they want. So I think in the, and that's something that just trying to build that is incredibly hard, right? Like a Circle isn't going to build that right now, in my opinion. They have other advantages, of course, and they are they're building other things that are going to be important for the ecosystem. But the payments rail is very, very much pre-built for PayPal. The second rail that they have is remittances, right? They have a company called Xoom that does remittances and competes with the likes of Western Union and MoneyGram. International transfers are incredibly expensive, and that the idea of building a remittance company is very difficult because you have that last mile problem where you actually have to like put that building wherever it is that you're sending money back to in order to get money to the end users. So right. These two use cases, I think PayPal has a huge advantage on, and they're going to work to build toward that strategic advantage. And I think that that's where we want to be. We want to be building toward that future state where stable coins are useful for these two use cases in particular.
Makes sense. Definitely from an individual user and investor standpoint, I think that those are all great arguments, for choosing Pi USD to work with, but also shifting over to the more institutional side of things as well. I know the news around this specific collaboration does talk about ensuring liquidity for even larger institutions, raising the cap for immediate minting and redemption. Can you tell us a little bit more about how that's all possible?
Absolutely. So with our partnership with PayPal, we're able to do this instant redemption of USYC into Pi USD. And I think that's incredibly important for a fast collateral movement, right? When you're posting collateral, especially within the crypto space right now, everyone's posting stablecoins, right? You're either posting stablecoins, Bitcoin, or Ethereum, essentially. And in traditional finance, that's unheard of to post an unyielding asset as collateral, right? Earning Fed funds is pretty standard. And so we think we've created the first money market token that can be used effectively in this way. And I think that's being proven out now by our integrations with some of the major custodians, such as Copper, Komainu, some of the other custodians that we've announced with recently,
yep.
As well as some upcoming partnerships with exchanges that'll be coming up in the next few months.
Good to know. We're about to wrap up, but before we do, in light of the recency of the news that we had also seen from BlackRock, I wanted to get your thoughts on that piece of news through the Boodle that they released. How do you think that will impact the market overall, and where do you see things going?
Yeah, I think it's only positive for the market, right? BlackRock has created a fantastic product. We're going to be able to compose on top of their product. We've actually already talked to Securitize about us composing on the BlackRock Biddle product. I think that they are building something for very much for institutions, and we'll see how it gets integrated into the rest of the market. We at Hashnote are quite proud of our ability to integrate into a variety of customers and a variety of partnerships. And we will help leverage what they're doing to try to, or we will leverage what they're doing to help our ability to integrate into the rest of the market. But we think we'll move faster in a lot of places that that'll be difficult for BlackRock to follow into. But it's always going to be a very institutional market for the BlackRock product.
Makes sense. Yeah. It is an institutional product after all.
But yeah, I mean, look, at the collaborative efforts are always great to work through and to discuss. So with that, Leo, as people, you know, get more familiar with Hashnote or want to work with you or participates directly into USYC, where can they learn more? How can they get in contact?
Yeah. You know, you can always go to our website, hashnote.com. We'll have a contact us forum on that website. You can also find us on Twitter as Hashnote Labs. And we are also on LinkedIn as well as Hashnote.
Perfect. Well, with that, thank you, Leo, for joining us. Appreciate your time, your insights. You know, best of luck. And we will now be transitioning to the next section of the show.
Thank you very much, Jason. We'll see you soon.
Talk soon.
And kicking off the remaining announcements of the week, we're going to start here in Miami and starting with ourselves. So if you haven't been to stm.co lately, you're missing out because we've got a brand new feature, a charts feature. So you can actually get into the insights on the market, like the sector sizes, the usage, the growth, the blockchains being used, and much, much more. And also in Miami, we saw Hashnote, which announced their USYC to PYUSD conversion, thanks to their partnership with Paxos. So USYC is Hashnote's fund offering yield backed by investment in U.S. Treasury bills and repo markets. And they're looking at the U.S. If we go beyond that, we also saw Arculus, a cold storage wallet designed with a third layer of security using a special authentication Arculus card. Which I guess offers an even extra layer of protection for cold storage security. And now they support Hash, which is, of course, the token behind Provenance blockchain. And if we go even further on the Americas to LATAM, we saw Acura Capital, which is a billion-dollar asset manager in Brazil. And they announced plans to partner with Patex, which is a blockchain firm that's very popular in LATAM. They're planning to partner up on a new bank focused on RWAs and digital assets. You'd love to see tokenization going global. And on that note, let's travel over to Europe, where we did see Midas raise nearly $9 million for an RWA tokenization platform, including esteemed investors like Block Tower and Framework Ventures. And meanwhile, in The Hague in the Netherlands, where the intergovernmental body, the Hague Conference on Private International Law, they've created a project designed to explore all use cases of tokenization, ranging from real estate to stable coins to special claims and more. And we also saw news from Bitbond in Germany as they forged a new partnership with Nyala. The partnership combines Bitbond's tokenization infrastructure with Nyala's BaFin-regulated crypto securities registry services in order to create a complete ecosystem, you know, for the whole life cycle of tokenized bonds, certificates, and other things that they're focused on. And that's actually good timing for all these announcements because over in the UK, a working group called the Ministers Industry Group, which is backed and filled by various arms in the UK government, they issued a report last week calling for the implementation of tokenization once again because it's the same industry group that sounded the alarm in a similar report that they released last November. And of course, we got to head over to APAC, where we also saw some headlines, starting with Singapore-based iXSwap announcing a partnership with Panomo. So Panomo is an issuance platform focused on enabling tokenization of interconnected green assets in local energy grids, allowing both local communities and global capital pools to participate directly in the green energy assets. So finally, we have an announcement also over in Hong Kong, which has seen a lot of trials involving tokenization, including one on real estate and its collateralization with the electronic Hong Kong dollar. So the Boston Consulting Group, or BCG, Hong Kong's Telecom Payments, and ZA Bank led the pilot, and BCG concluded from their findings that digital currencies, including CBDCs, tokenized deposits, and stablecoins, all could add up to $160 billion in Hong Kong dollars. That's roughly about $20 billion in US dollars, or 0.5% of the GDP by 2032. And that's the same firm, BCG, that also has been recognized quite a bit for forecasting in a report a $16 trillion tokenization of the global economy by 2030. And that's all I've got for you in the token debrief. So let's head over to the final segment of the show.
And it's time for everyone's favorite segment of the week. We're, of course, talking about the companies of the week, where Herwig and I pick two businesses we wanted to specifically highlight for doing something novel, interesting, or noteworthy. And, of course, it earns them a ticket into the final drawing for company of the year, which we pick at the end of the year. One company between Herwig and myself, just one that wins the company of the year. So without further ado, Herwig, I do think it's time to unveil your company of the week winner.
All right. Well, I'm happy to kick it off. There was a lot to choose from this week, Kyle. So many new offerings, HSBC doing gold. You got a lot of treasuries products, diamonds on Avalanche through Oasis Pro and the Diamond Fund. There's lots of cool stuff. But the reason I selected USP Coin is because they are the most universal. Real estate, as we discussed, is hot. It's sexy. People love it. It is a fantastic asset class for fractionalization and taking advantage of the liquidity capabilities and other things, which they said they want to do peer-to-peer transfers, which I think is incredible innovation. They're doing it via Republic, so you know this is available. So that way, you know, it's not just available in one region here, like some of these products that we've seen are to a certain type of investor. No, most people, or I think even internationally, can probably invest in this. So this is an incredible project. I'm super happy to see them continue to make waves because they've already tokenized 52 million in properties, and wow, they're using Ethereum for anyone that's curious. So go check it out. Go learn more at Republic, who just so happens to have been last year's company of the year. So nice going there.
Makes total sense. Republic is a leader in this industry. So if you're an issuer, you're bringing something to market, why reinvent the wheel? Why not work with the industry standard, a leader in the industry, help them take care of a lot of the compliance things so that you can get back to being an operator and capitalizing your vehicles. Major shout out to USP for bringing a new real estate tokenization project to market.
Congrats to USP. You're my winner. But we've got two every week. So Kyle, who did you pick?
Herwig, I picked a Singaporean issuer this week because, look, I think there's something to be said about bringing a fundraise to market. Right? You're going to do a token, you've gone through the compliance, you've found your vendors, and you've now announced a press release that you're going to be doing fundraisers. We see this all the time from different companies. But my company of the week was actually able to close over $50 million in financing through two different digital securities platforms, ADX as well as SDAX. So my company of the week, ValueMax, is a publicly traded company. They are a $300 million market cap. They trade in Singapore. I believe they do all kinds of financing for vehicles and automotive opportunities, and they've been able to secure over $50 million in short-term financing through these platforms. So I think this deserves my company of the week because they were able to leverage their successful business and brand. They were able to actually get investor demand for the vehicle that they've put forth, which shows a lot of intention in terms of putting a product and bringing a product to market that investors actually want, and successfully being able to drive that offering to market using friends of the show, ADX, as well as SDAX that we've been covering for so many years now, and helping them drive successful liquidity into interesting products. So I think that for all those reasons, I probably could have also given a co-winner to those brokers to provide the service. But I think ValueMax really deserves the award for the fact that they're the ones that are taking this kind of risk of innovating, and it went very successfully. So for that, they win my company of the week.
It absolutely went very successfully. That is no small amount of money. And as we see the whole RWA tokenization sector got red hot around the world. You know, specifically, finally, looks like the United States is sort of back in the game a little bit too with the Biddle and USP Coin itself and others. But you know, Singapore, don't sleep on it. They've been a pioneer and a leader in this space, and so it makes total sense that we see a lot of success over there as well. And ValueMax has proven that.
For anybody interested, just as a slight fun fact there, the terms of the deal, it was actually only a three-month note, and it was about a 4.95%. So just in terms of general trends on where the market's heading, that tended to be very attractive for investors. So therefore, ValueMax was able to raise the whole thing.
People like yield. People like tokens too. So if you like this show, of course, please like, subscribe, share, get the word out. We've also got an amazing conference coming up. It's not too far away now, just about 5 weeks, May 9th and 10th. Come to Miami. Come talk just RWAs, just tokenization, all in one place. We've got amazing speakers from huge banks, huge asset managers, from the CEO of Securitas behind Biddle will be speaking, as well as many, many other CEOs and leaders in the industry. So come have a good time with us. And of course, we hope to catch you again next week. Happy tokenizing.